Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Start your day with the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Weekday mornings at 6 on 104.5 The Zone.
We always look forward to talking to John McClain. Presented by FreelandChevy.com. He joins us twice a week here on the show. John, how are you?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
We are doing very well. Did you watch any of the preseason action last night?
I did not. I was watching the Astros get beat by the A's.
Paul.
The only preseason games I've watched are the ones I have to with the Texans. I'll watch the Cowboys game next week closely with the Texans because the third one is the most important for all the teams. And it's the last one in which we will see any starters the regular season.
Paul, are you worried about John's Astros?
I'm scared to death of John's Astros. I think that they will outpitch the Yankees in the playoffs and leave me disappointed and disheartened, though I have begun to prepare myself already for that. So hopefully I'll be ready for that.
Paul, let me tell you, the Astros bullpen is awful. They've been scoring 7, 8, 9 runs and losing because their bullpen's awful. But they do have 3 really good starters in Justin Verlander, Garrett Cole, Zach Greinke, and Wade Miley's been pretty good, too, as the 4th. But none of those goes the distance. And their pen is going to be their undoing when they play the Yankees in the ALCS, and the Yankees pound those relievers with home run after home run.
I'm reinvigorated. And we just need big at-bats, big, long at-bats against the starters. File off a lot of pitches, take them into deep counts. Get them out in the 5th or 6th, and then boom. And guess what, Hutt? 5th or 6th is when the Yankees' good pitchers start coming in, because what the Yankees don't have.
And Aaron Judge starters, comes up to the plate for the 3rd time.
But what they do have, bullpen. Reinvigorated. We're John, going to the series, baby.
John, if you were placing bets right now, would you bet that Andrew Luck plays week 1 against the Chargers for the Colts?
He's missed a lot of time. I know they said they're going to do it based on after the 3rd preseason game. If I were betting, I would say no.
Seems a little early. Like, why do they have to decide after the 3rd preseason game? They got another 3 or 4 days at least there. I guess that doesn't make that much of a difference.
Well, they've already said he's not going to play in a preseason game, and I think they want a little early because they want him to be able to run and work on that ankle and not just throw him out there. Even behind the scenes, they want to see him get some work.
He can do everything unlike last year, but the problem is he has pain and they don't understand it. And the doctors don't understand it. No matter what they do, he feels pain.
There's a sense, because it seems like they couldn't get to the bottom of the shoulder thing. And now, I'm sure it's not entirely accurate, but the way the information comes out, it makes them look like they haven't been able to get to the bottom of it. And so you put the two together, and there's a strong sense, I think, amongst fans that the Colts medically don't know what they're doing, that they don't know how to diagnose their quarterback, that they can't get to the bottom of stuff. Set people straight on how fair you think that is and how much, that's not the case, or that they're in a jam where something's complicated and maybe you just sometimes can't get to the bottom of things.
I would be willing to bet that since Luck is from Houston, that he has come back to the medical center here or gone to specialists, that he has definitely got other opinions than just the Colts.
What's the speaking of injuries, how many players for the Washington Redskins have had an issue, had a big injury, had a surgery, and then had to go back in because of complications with their surgery? Alex Smith has done this, and there's been other examples of players having to go through this. There's an issue there behind the scenes for sure.
We didn't know, pay any attention to it until Trent Williams was unhappy with the growth. I don't remember if it's on his head or his neck. And he was not happy, and he said he wasn't going to play as long as the training staff was there. Then Jay Gruden says that they rushed back McCoy too soon last year.
Yes, yes.
His return, I'm thinking, you know, how stupid is that for a coach to admit that?
Yeah, McCoy broke his fibula last year, and then they admitted that it did not heal correctly because they hurried him back too quickly. And he's had three surgeries since that one. But all because Gruden admitted that.
If I'm any player on the Redskins and they tell me you're going to have surgery, I'm getting another opinion.
John, who's playing it smarter right now, Ezekiel Elliott or Dak Prescott, when it comes to the contract negotiations?
Prescott, because he knows he's going to get paid because he's the quarterback, whereas Elliott, they can control him for four more years. 2 years on his contract, 2 years as a franchise player. So he's going to have to understand running backs don't get the big bucks today. And they say they made him a fair offer of at least $10 million a year. I think he should take it. I think Prescott will end up somewhere between $30 and $35 million a year. And they'll do something with Amari Cooper because they can't afford not to have him because he breathed new life in there. Offense last year, and Philadelphia, based on all the moves the Eagles made, most people are picking the Eagles to win that division, but now Carson Wentz has got to stay healthy for the first time.
Albert Breer wrote that the Redskins and Dolphins are the only teams that have not named starting quarterbacks yet, and he said that's a first before even looking into the actual battles. He says that's a commentary on the health of the position league-wide, that there are only two teams that don't know their starter as it stands right now. Do you agree with him that the quarterbacks right now are playing at the highest level we've ever seen team to team across the league?
Well, I wouldn't say highest level. There's just not enough good ones to go around so they know who they are. And, for instance, Case Keenum, I'd be shocked if he doesn't start the season for Washington because Dwayne Haskins just doesn't look like he's ready to be thrown to the wolves. So start Keenum until they believe that he's ready. And Haskins started 1 year in college. As far as Miami, I think that's probably out of respect to Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, there's no need to rush Josh Rosen if they don't think he's ready in their new system. Put Fitzy out there, then go to him. But as far as these other jobs, a lot of guys have them, and they're not very good.
Do you think that there's a scenario where without adding regular season games, the preseason is reduced?
Paul, I think they're definitely going to add regular season games. I think they're going to give the players things that the players have wanted for years, like better insurance for life, benefits. There's just so much more money to be made. And when they do that, they'll cut it back too and have more joint practices. And I think that Players Association will ease up a little bit on the restrictions they negotiated in the off season, because coaches want more time with their players. Think there'll be another bye week. Think the players will make unprecedented amounts of money. And of course the owners will as well, but we're not going to see four preseason games much longer.
John, what is the asking price for Jadeveon Clowney?
A good starting left tackle. They need a left tackle. Their left tackle they drafted, Titus Howard, they put him at guard. He's starting at guard. They have two positions they need on this team right now, barring injuries, left tackle and a slot corner. Other than that, they're set.
What if they can't find somebody who wants to deal them a left tackle for Jadeveon?
Well, they better not give him away at this time of year because, number one, the new team can't sign him. Nobody can sign him until after the season. So a new team that gets him runs the risk of having him for one season, and they don't want to meet his contract demands either. So they could go through the same thing the Texans are next offseason and franchise him and see if they get a deal worked out or trade him. If the Texans trade him for draft choices, they're going to look like idiots because they should have done it back before the draft or before the deadline for signing franchise players. But I think that they're going to do it. I think they're going to get a left tackle from somewhere. Paul Domowicz, our buddy from Philadelphia, floated Lane Johnson out there today. Their right tackle could play left tackle. They're deep in their offensive line. They could fill in for him. There was one Miami for Laremy Tunsil. So I don't know where he's going to be at, but I'll be surprised if he's here this season.
Is there any scenario where he does not sign the franchise tag?
If he doesn't, he's going to be missing out on $15.97 million. He's got a lot of money, but, you know, if he sits out, then that's going to make it harder for him to get with another team. Thing would be is come in, sign it, play his tail off, and hope he gets traded next year or sign a long-term deal. But it's gotten bad now. Nothing's said publicly, but he's not happy he didn't get paid. Now he's unhappy that they're not, that they're trying to trade him. And he's saying, I'm told privately, that he's not going to sign his tender if he doesn't like where they're trying to trade it.
I wonder what that would mean for Miami or Philly, if the two teams that you just mentioned
There's talk that he's already turned down Miami. Philadelphia, I'm guessing he would go there because they're a Super Bowl contender.
Boy, with that, it's already a pretty damn good defense. You throw him in there for Jim Schwartz.
Yeah.
John. I mean, he'd be more traditional 4-3 end too, right?
And, yeah, go ahead with that. He'd be more of the end.
He'd play weak side end all the time if he wasn't in a 3-4, which is his natural position.
And on one side of things, they're picking up, hypothetically here, a left tackle, but they're losing their second-best defensive player. So how do they juggle that? How do they replace Jadeveon Clowney defensively?
They don't replace Clowney, but they think protecting Watson is more important than getting the quarterback. Whitney Mercilus is healthy this year. They're negotiating, I think, trying to get him signed to an extension. But the starter who would replace him, Brandon Scarlett's a four-year veteran, who signed as an undrafted free agent from Stanford. So you got him replacing a guy who was the first overall pick. They're not going to be able to replace Clowney and get a left tackle.
John, it's going to be interesting to watch. When do you think that will be resolved? The next week or so?
I'm guessing it's going to go right up to the end unless he has a team he likes and he agrees to sign the tender. Otherwise, they're going to play cat and mouse to see if he signs it or he sits out and starts missing almost $1 million a week.
John McClain, follow him on Twitter at McClain_on_NFL. John, thank you. We will catch up with you on Tuesday to recap all the exciting preseason action.
Have a good weekend.
That sounds great, guys. Thank you very much.
All right. John McClain, presented by FrelandChevy.com.